the Savior. I feel fire from above. I've been down to the river. I ain't the same, a prodigal return.
At First Pentecostal. Isn't it a beautiful day? Guys, just continue to bless us. Let's all stand if you can. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. I know there's it's a special time of years. We've got a lot of busyness. God knows each and every situation, all the ministries, all the activities that's going forward. But we just want to ask God right now to just join us and just release anything that you've got in your mind right now. Just release it all to the Lord and let's just worship and praise Him. Yes, Miss Lori. Absolutely. We'll keep that in our prayer. And there's so many others, those that have text blast and those that we got in the prayer box. But if you have a prayer request this morning, just show by the raising of your hand. God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. Dear Lord, we just want to come to you and worship you, dear Lord, and just want to give you all the honor and glory that you so justly deserve. Dear Lord, we thank you again for allowing us to gather in your house and in your name. Lord, as we open up this service, dear Lord, may we just turn all of our attention on to you. Lord, just release anything that's holding us back, anything that's binding us down. Dear Lord, we ask you to take charge of and, dear Lord, to release us, dear Lord. Lord, we just thank you for your many blessings, dear Lord. We thank you for each and every situation. Dear Lord, now we just bring each and every hand that was raised, those spoken and unspoken prayer requests to you, dear Lord. And we ask you to be with those now that we know we've had prayer requests that are heading to the ER at the hospital right now with situations. Those that are sick and shut in, dear Lord, we just ask you just to touch now, dear Lord. Those that have got diagnoses or waiting on answers of tests, Lord, we just ask you just to take and heal our bodies, dear Lord. Strengthen and guide us. Lord, be with our family and friends, dear Lord, that are traveling right now in this busy time of year. But, dear Lord, most of all, we just want to worship you. Lord, we ask for you just to release your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us. Lord, we know that if we receive you, dear Lord, that that is the answer to our prayers. Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody says,
amen,
amen. Amen. Praise the Lord again. Let's just praise him. Praise God, praise God. I know God is in control. While you're standing, turn to page 345. I know we did it a couple of weeks ago. Where could I go? Page 345. After, to Jesus, to our Lord and Savior.
Hardly a comfort can abide.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated if you can. We're just going to get right into some announcements we have. Got a few of them this morning, but not many. Just praise God before we take up our morning offering. Don't forget, this evening at 6 p.m., we're having a multi-church service tonight here at First Pentecostal. Really excited about it. Want to invite each and every one of you to come back tonight. Want to fill the house. We just want to worship the Lord. It's going to be a great opportunity to minister and to worship with other churches that are gathering together. And also, there'll be a love offering taken tonight. And it's going to be for Shop for with the Cop. It's for the kids and it locally done, and it's going to be an exciting time. Make plans to come tonight. We'd really like to pack the house and just let First Pentecostal just praise and worship and just give it all to the Lord for everything that's done and for these children that are not able to. Also, was just given an announcement for our Christmas presentation, which is next Sunday, isn't it? Praise God. That there will be a play practice tonight, this evening at 4:30 for the puppets, all speaking roles, and the narrator. Be a practice today at 4:30. So a busy, busy time. And I know the Amazing Grace has an announcement.
Yes. Wait a minute. Will be a practice Saturday at noon for everyone that's in it. And that includes all the children. We'll have a dress rehearsal. And then I imagine we will come at 9 o'clock Sunday morning and practice again.
Okay. Thank you.
Lunch will be served Saturday. Yes.
Next Saturday.
We will have lunch Saturday.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Also, the Amazing Grace.
All Amazing Gracers and Ida Bells will meet today at Red Lobster in Douglasville at 1 o'clock. Make sure you bring your white elephant gift and come have fun. We'll see you there. Bye.
Praise the Lord. And I know there's so much going on. We just love the Lord, and I know He's continued to bless us. We do it in His name, right? The name of the Lord. And also yesterday, Brother Jim, thank you for the setting up the caroling. What an amazing time and what a great time. I know it just helped my soul so much. Thank you for that yesterday. We're going to go ahead and take up the morning offering, and we'll repeat the announcements at this evening. But don't forget about tonight at 6. Come join us. Be part of this celebration. Praise God. Brother Jim, if you'd ask the Lord to bless our offering, please. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Sunday school next Sunday morning. We'll be meeting downstairs or over in the children's church. We'll set that up, but downstairs would have more seating. So plan on coming as you always do for Sunday school. Thank you. Thank you.
there won't be no praying round here. And whosoever calls on any God's name will be cast into the lion's den. Daniel didn't pay the king no attention. 3 times a day he prayed to God anyway. When confronted with consequences of the lion's den, I can hear old Daniel say,
I don't have a cause in religion.
Oh, no.
I can't hide the God I serve. I got to let the world know, wherever I go,
I've got to praise and serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. There won't be no praying round here. Whosoever calls on any God's name will be put into the lion's den. Daniel didn't pay the king no attention. 3 times a day he prayed to God anyway. When confronted with consequences of the lion's den, I can hear old Daniel say,
I don't have a cause in religion.
Oh, no.
I can't hide the God I serve. I got to let the world know, wherever I go, I've got to praise and serve the Lord.
Serve the Lord.
And he carried the cross. His love so amazing. His love so amazing. Yeah, oh, Jesus Messiah. Name above all names. Blessed Redeemer. Emmanuel. The rescue for sinners. The ransom from heaven. Jesus Messiah. His body the bread, His blood the wine, He's broken and poured out all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. His love so amazing. His love so
thank you. Messiah, Lord of all, name above all names. Aren't you glad that you know Jesus? Aren't you glad that he knows you? Man, that we have a relationship with the Redeemer. My. God is a gracious God, a wonderful God. Good to see each and every one of you this morning. Just give the Lord a hand clap of praise, if you would. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, the world tries to stymie the name of Jesus. In fact, if it would be left up to some in this world, it wouldn't even be mentioned at all. Man, it is offensive to some, so they say. It is trying to push someone's religion on someone else. Let me tell you, if I had the ability to push salvation on others, I would push with all of my might. Man, but how many knows it takes a receptive heart, an obedient mind, amen, and a broken and contrite spirit. And so many times people don't want to do those, amen. But I'm so glad that Jesus humbled me down with his convicting power. Let me know that I was on a road to hell, amen. Even if I was a good person, without the salvation and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, I knew where my destination would be. But he picked me up. He dusted me off. He changed my life. He turned me around, and he gave me a brand new direction. If the Lord has done that for you, give him praise today. Well, glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. And we are entering into the season of the birth of that wonderful, glorious Lamb of God. If you have your Bibles this morning, go with us to the book of the prophet Micah, M-I-C-A-H. One of the lesser prophets, very little is written from him. That's where we want to take our text this morning, from the 5th chapter of the book of Micah. Let me say, as you're turning, one thing that I probably have not done, maybe over my tenure as pastor, I have invited, but I am pleading with you to please come back tonight. Not only to represent First Pentecostal Church, but to have fellowship with some other churches that are near and dear to our heart. Not only that, but for a good cause too, to help those that maybe would not receive anything this year if it's not for the love and the benevolence of others who are contributing to them. So it's a worthy cause, and as your pastor, I urge you to please come back with us tonight and support us. And I probably won't beg you too many times, but I'm almost at the point of begging you to come back and be with us tonight, if you possibly can. In the book of Micah, the 5th chapter, verse number 2. And thank you for standing as we read from the Word of God. The prophet says, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth, unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." Everybody say eternal. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful and grateful we are, God, for another day and another opportunity to enter into this place with thanksgiving and praise. Father, thank you for those who have come this morning. Father, I pray, God, that you would now just open up that window of heaven of blessings and anointing and pour out upon this congregation. Father, I humbly ask this morning that you would anoint this vessel. God, anoint these lips of clay. God is nothing more than a vessel. God, that you may speak to our hearts. God, that we may be submissive and obedient to your word and to your will. And Father, we do remember those who are sick. Many are afflicted this morning, God, and we pray a very special prayer of healing on their account. Reach out to those in the hospitals, the nursing homes, those that are sick and shut in, those that are listening by live stream and viewing. Father, I pray that you would touch and minister to each and every need. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. Amen. And as you're being seated, would you please turn to the book of St. Luke, chapter number 2. Probably one of the most revered and read passages of Scripture that we know of as Christians or born-again saints of God. not only is it read in almost every Christmas play, family devotions, sometimes traditionally it is read on Christmas morning by certain families. But I never tire from reading about the birth of Christ. It in itself was a mighty miracle, a very profound happening. But I want to take that particular passage of Scripture and follow up on what Micah, one of the lesser prophets, but yet prophesied one of the greatest events, if not the greatest event, to ever take place in this world. And that was the announcement of the Messiah. None of this came as a surprise to Almighty God, by the way. In His infinite wisdom and in His ability to not only know the future, but be the future as well as the past, eternity, He saw it fit to have His Son born in this world, taking on a robe of flesh to become the sacrificial Lamb of God. I want to pick this story up according to the writings of the disciple Luke in the second chapter, verse 1. And it came to pass. Everybody say, it happened. Anytime you read in the Bible that it came to pass, it happened. Amen? It fulfilled the prophecy. In those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was, everybody say that with me, and so it was, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. The thought that I want to bring to us this morning is those four words, and so it was. The Spirit of the Lord has dealt with me this particular week in that passage of Scripture, that wonderful, glorious, beautiful passage of Scripture, almost written in poetic form by the disciple of Luke, and how he gave a glorious account of what happened on that eventful night. I want to bring to you this morning that none of that happened by circumstance. Amen. It was all planned by God Himself. Even the decree of Caesar Augustus. Because if you're aware and you're a Bible reader, Joseph, who was espoused or married to Mary, was a resident of Nazareth. And so was Mary. But the prophet Micah said, out of Bethlehem, Ephrathah, so little among the nations, so small in number, out of you will come. Even going back to the promise God gave David, and out of the house and the lineage, the heritage of David. But out of Bethlehem will be born that Savior, that Christ child, that Messiah he referred to as the ruler of Israel. The decree that Caesar Augustus made was basically, I know the Bible says a taxing of the whole world, but basically it was of the Roman Empire. Caesar Augustus had conquered a lot of nations and a lot of land and a lot of geography, and he wanted to know exactly what made up his empire. So the taxing was basically a registering or a census or accounting, if you will. So everyone was supposed to return to their homeland or to their city of birth. So that was the case of Joseph. Now we know that Mary was expecting a child at this particular time. And you would think that
a loving husband would not allow her to make such a treacherous journey or a long journey in her condition. But yet, it was so that this prophecy must be fulfilled. Because Mary, in fact, had to return so that she could be registered, or so she could be counted as well as Joseph. So the event that happened in Bethlehem was not by chance or by circumstance, but it was so by the prophetic words of God Himself. It was so for Jesus to be born in Bethlehem, fulfilling the prophecy. And so it was that there were to be shepherds and wise men to be able to see this child. It wasn't just by chance. Everything that happened in the book of Luke, in the very first few chapters, is in fact a biography, if you will, of the birth and the life of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the supreme sacrifice. And we know and understand Him so many times, I think we take for granted exactly what took place. And we celebrate the birth, and we celebrate the fact that Jesus was born, and we have a wonderful time. But I want us to understand that everything that happened was fulfilled in prophecy by the hand of God Himself. And God is still in charge, regardless of what the world thinks, regardless of what the world believes Himself to be doing. I believe that God is still in control. That's what makes me understand that I don't need to worry. I don't need to be upset. I don't need to fret or lose sleep over the things that are happening in the world, because "and so it was" means that it's going to take place. Every promise, everything that God has said in His Word, how many believers in the house today believe that it will be so as spoken by the voice of God? I don't know if we realize it or not, but it was so for gifts to be brought to the Christ child. Costly gifts. That was unusual. Very unusual. It was unusual that Mary and Joseph could not find a place to abide that night. I believe that was so by the Word of God. I believe everything that happened was a purpose of God. From humble surroundings, from a humble childbirth, even the significance of the swaddling clothes. When our grandkids were born, I'd always heard of swaddling clothes. I thought it was a type of material. Did not really understand or give it much thought. But Karen addressed it and said, "No, it's basically where you wrap up the child to make it feel secure, almost like it was still in the womb. You even put their hands down and you wrap them in such a procedure, such a way that only their little face is there, and it calms them down." And I thought about as they wrapped baby Jesus in swaddling clothes and how the world would love to have kept Him in swaddling clothes. Many of the world today still think of Jesus in a little manger in the town of Bethlehem, sitting there in a little stable. And it's wonderful to be depicted. But I'm telling you, and so it was that when time came, He came out of the swaddling clothes. He is alive and well today. He is sitting on the throne of grace. No longer is He a little small child. He is Alpha. He is Omega. He is the beginning. He is the end. He is the Christ child. He is the Savior of the world. And as we celebrate that birth, let us never forget that Jesus is in fact alive and well today. And it was so that gifts were brought. Many years ago, I thought about the gifts that were brought. And we always search for the Christmas place and we try to find something that looks like gold or myrrh or frankincense and depicts the gifts that were come from the Magi. But you know what? And so it was. Because Herod found out about the prophetic birth of this Christ child. He had the mindset that it was going to be a great ruler or conqueror that might come in and stir up the rebellious people against those who were in charge. But how many knows that Jesus came as a lamb before the slaughter? He is mighty. He could call down angels, but he came in the peaceful surroundings of a humble stable. So Herod wanted the wise men to tell him where this child was born. Joseph, and so it was, that Joseph was warned in a dream by God. How many knows that God still speaks to us? Sometimes we don't listen, do we? But God will speak to us. He's always speaking to us. I've heard people say, how do you know that God is speaking to you? Listen, you'll know it without a shadow of a doubt. Everything that speaks to you is not of God. There's spirits in this world that are trying to confuse you, that are trying to pull you away from the Spirit of God. That is not the voice of God. The voice of God is mighty, but it's full of passion, and it's full of compassion and mercy and grace. The voice of God spoke to Joseph and warned him, don't go back the same way you came. You might go down through Egypt. We take that for granted, but that was a long trip. Joseph was just a small carpenter. Probably didn't take any money much with him. But think about, there was the gifts to be able to finance a trip. Hypothetically, who knows? And so it was that he was able to take Mary and the child to Egypt and then in a different route back to Nazareth. And everything that happened in the book of Luke was attributed to the plan of God. And so it was that at the age of 12, many people say the Lord got lost from his parents. He was not lost. He knew exactly where he was. He knew exactly what he was doing. Even at the age of 12, and so it was that he was able to hold his own and to stand and give scripture and teaching to the scholars of that particular time. They were so amazed that this 12-year-old little Jewish person was able to recite and able to explain the scriptures. But we understand and know that he is the Christ child. Amen. He is the Savior of the world. And so it was. The biography begins to continue to unfold. And so it was that at a simple marriage in the land of Cana, it didn't happen to be that Jesus and his mother was there. I believe it was the prophetic power of God. He knows there comes a time, man, when the ministry starts to begin. Up until this time, we don't hear a whole lot about Jesus. You know, Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. Jewish law would not have a minister under the age of 30. So the little dash from 12 years to 30, we don't read or hear much about the biography of Jesus. But I believe that he probably was in his dad's carpenter shop, probably doing some of the things any 12, 13, 14-year-old boy would do until his time came. But in this particular marriage, you know the story. It's described as the first miracle of Jesus. The wine had run out. So they came to Jesus, and Mary said, told them, said to the servants, do what he tells you to do. And he even told her, my time has not come. But yet he took the water, and he told them to fill up the water pots. And the water became wine, even better than the first wine that they served. And it was so. And so it was that he was to be baptized by John the Baptist. You remember when Jesus came to John, John said, I have need to be baptized of thee. But God had a plan. Amen. We need to remember that it was God and man. We need to remember that it was robed in flesh. And Jesus set forth an example. Amen. How many knows that we need to follow the example of Christ? If man does not follow the example of Christ, don't you follow that man. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Whatever comes in your direction, whatever befalls you, keep your mind and your spiritual eyes on Jesus. He's still leading us. He's still our shepherd. He's still our Savior. He's still our Redeemer. He's still the great I Am. He is still the Messiah. Keep your focus on Jesus. And so it was. Probably no more profound words written in the Word of God than those simple little words of, and so it was. It denotes that it took place. It denotes that it happened. There will be people today that'll tell you that was just a fable. That was just some man's imagination. But if you don't remember anything else from this message this morning, remember that everything that took place in the life of Christ was ordained by our Heavenly Father. First of all, you need to know that there has to be, must be, gotta be blood redemption. You gotta understand and know that a spirit cannot bleed. The Bible says God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So he sent his son, his spirit, amen, in the robe of flesh to become the sacrificial lamb of all mankind. Knowing and understanding, please, that Jesus is the only one that could have qualified to be the sacrificial lamb of God. The only one where no sin, even though he was in a body of flesh, no sin, no guile was ever found in his body. And so it was that after his baptism, he was immediately led into the wilderness. Man, not for punishment. Some of us think today that when the Spirit of God leads us into a wilderness situation, or a barren land, when I'm talking about that, I'm talking about those times. And if you've been serving the Lord long enough, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We know God is here. We know we're born again. But man, we can sure get in some spiritual dryness sometimes. Through circumstances, through occurrences in our life, through sickness, affliction, whatever the case may be, we find ourselves and we begin to question ourselves, what have we done to cause this in our life, when actually it's probably nothing more than to prepare us for what is about to take place. God didn't send him to the wilderness because he was punishing him. He didn't send him to the wilderness because he was upset with him. He sent him to the wilderness to get his flesh under subjection. And I want to tell you from experience, that is not a pleasant situation. Flesh don't like to be under subjection. Flesh don't even like to hear the word no. Amen. Flesh don't even like to see a sign that says, do not enter. What do they mean, do not enter? I've got a right to go wherever I want to go. Flesh does not like to be under subjection. But I will assure you, the reward for getting your flesh under subjection, it's going to be a great spiritual awakening. Amen. And if you can keep your flesh under subjection and let that spirit nurture it and let it grow and let it get closer to the Lord and more in the tune and the will of God, you'll see mighty things happen in your life. You'll see blessings and anointings that come that you had no idea of, because nobody can give you what Jesus does. Nobody can turn your life around like Jesus can. Hallelujah. And so it was But Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. Mom and Dad in the Allen family used to sing a song, "How do you feel since you come out of the wilderness? Come out of the wilderness. Come out of the wilderness. How do you feel since you come out of the wilderness, leaning on the Lord?" One of the verses that I'm feeling so much better. You'll feel so much better coming out, stronger, more empowered, man, by the mighty hand of God. And so it was that he would go on to perform miracles. Time does not allow us to tell you how many blinded eyes were opened by Jesus. The lame were made to walk again. The pool where the man lay for 30 years, I think it was. Jesus said, just simply take up your bed and walk. Quite recently, it was preached, I believe, by Brother Chris about the man who was carried by four of his friends up on the roof and led them down to Jesus. And Jesus healed him and forgave him of his sins. And it was so that the blinded eyes were opened, the lame were made to walk, lepers were cleansed, and even the dead were raised. In the biography of Jesus, one would surmise that it would have taken 70, 80 years or more to accomplish what this man of God accomplished in just 33 and a half years. A very short lifetime. Many of us have more than doubled that lifespan. But I would venture to say that nobody anywhere in this earth has ever made an impact any greater than what Jesus Christ made. And it was so. And it was so that he would feed 5,000 with just 2 fishes and 5 loaves. And it was so that he would look at ordinary men of not really potential in their background, but would choose 12 to become devoted disciples. That in itself is a mighty miracle, because of all of those men that he chose, many had families, many had jobs and opportunities, but they knew something was different about this man called Jesus. That even at his spoken word, "Come and follow me," they left home, they left family, they left their possessions, and they devoted their life to following him. And it was so. It happened. Some of us can't explain it. I don't know. It would be hard for me to explain how anybody would be able to leave everything just to follow Jesus, not even knowing where he was going, never having met him before, but knowing something was special about this man called Jesus, the impact that he had on lives. And it was so. Not only did he choose 12, but this certainly is beyond my ability to comprehend. He chose one of which he knew would betray him. And he chose him anyway. Because he could not change the plan of God. No matter how much the flesh wanted to change, I could choose 11 and then maybe skip this one and choose another one, but it was not so. As the Bible said, and so it was. Brother, where are you going with this? I'm going with this. Everything that was done was anointed by God. Nothing by circumstance. Nothing by happenstance. Everything had a purpose. Every situation had direction. And so it was. Jesus, the sacrificial Lamb of God. People's lives were forever changed just by meeting him. And he was loved and adored by many, but also hated by many. And for the life of me, I cannot find anything that in the Scriptures that would cause him to have a hateful disposition or come across as a hateful person. But I do understand what jealousy and greed will do. And that's where the hate came from. Or the fear that he would raise a mighty army. He's still raising a mighty army. Amen. But not to do battle with Herod. To do battle with that adversary. How many knows that one of these days he is going to be put in his place? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm a part of that army. I've already been chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I signed up, amen, to be somebody that's going to live for God regardless of what I face, regardless of the hardships, regardless of the people. I've still got to make it. Come too far to turn back. And it was so. So it was that he would teach and preach the kingdom of God. And so it was that he would be arrested, falsely accused, and beaten. How we love the story of the little babe born in the city of David, in a little stable. Oh, it makes for such a picturesque nativity scene. And you can't help but feel love and compassion when you see that depicted on a Christmas card, or when you see it placed in front of a church. It's so wonderful, so precious. Even the plays they do at church. But that was just part of the mission of Christ. As necessary as it was for him to be born in humble surroundings, it was just as necessary for him to be arrested, falsely accused, and beaten. Not because he deserved it, not because he was guilty, but because that's how much love God has for his people. We should never say, God, where are you? We should never ask God, why don't you care for me? Because that's the immaculate love that God loves his people. And that Jesus came in the form of flesh when he didn't have to. And so it was that he would be tried and crucified. The fleshly part of us, as we view the crucifixion of Christ, and we view the many plays, movies, the fleshly part of us tends to want to say, you need to release him and let him go. But if we had, we would have been pronouncing judgment on our own lives. It was not so for him to be released. It was not so for him to be set free. And so it was that Barabbas, a murderer, was released on his behalf. Even in his arresting and sentencing, he was still setting people free. And he's still setting people free. And so it was. You know the story, as he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. We, you know, kind of skip through that and know that, yeah, it was a hard prayer. But we need to understand his flesh was saying there's got to be another way. Up until this point, I've been obedient. I've been submissive. But knowing his destiny, knowing the pain, knowing the cruelty, he cried, let this cup pass from me, symbolizing, let there be a different way. But as he prayed that flesh under subjection, the words nevertheless came from his heart. Not my will, but thine be done. And so it was that the will of God superseded the will of man. And for us as a body of Christ, we need to be forever thankful for that decision that Christ made. And so it was that he gave up the ghost. Many of his closest followers thought that was the end. Mourned over the fact that the Messiah, their master, their teacher, was gone. Even though he had told them, he had given them warnings or given them encouragement of what was going to happen and that he would rise again. And was it so? It was. That he would be buried in a borrowed tomb. And so it was. Just as he died on that cross of Calvary, he would rise in 3 days. And was it so? Those words again. And so it was. Not on the second day. Not on the fourth day. But on the third day, he arose. The stone was rolled away. And he came out victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Just as much as we celebrate the birth of Christ, even more, we ought to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Amen. He was born for our iniquities. He was born for our sin. He gave his life so that I could live. He gave his life so that I could be free. He's my Redeemer. He's my blessed Messiah. He is my Lord and my Savior. And I praise him. And so it was. So it was. It came to pass, meaning that it happened. And so it was, meaning that it was fulfilled. I want to end this message, and so it is, meaning that it will take place. Every promise, everything that the prophets prophesied about Christ has happened, except one final thing. And I want to leave you with this. Just as sure as he was born, just as sure as he died on the cross of Calvary or gave up the ghost, just as certain as he rose from the dead, came out of the tomb, everything up until this point, just as true, he said, I'm going away, but I'm coming back in like manner. Looking forward to it with great anticipation. Had it not been for Jesus, I would have feared the day. Had it not been for the blood sacrifice, I would have had to face judgment on my own. But I'm here today to tell you the reason that I am so joyous this year is not only for the birth of Christ, but for the death, the burial, and the resurrection of my Lord and Savior, giving me eternal life, everlasting life, a hope of glory. The church ought to say, and so it is. Lord Jesus, come back to receive your bride. Hallelujah. If you're a part of the bride of Christ, give him praise this morning. If you're thankful for what Jesus did, love him. Love him. This morning, as we sing our first congregational song before Sunday school, we turn to an old hymnal that we hadn't sung in a long time. I woke up this morning with it on my heart and on my mind. It says, fill my way every day with love. That's saying, fill my way every day with God. Because God is love. As I walk with a heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Not just when things are going my way, but let me go all the while. Because I've got a promise. Glory to God. I said, I've got a promise that's going to take place. Hallelujah. Closer I get to that promise, whether it be by the grave or whether it be by the eastern sky, I don't know. I don't have whichever one is fine with me. But the longer that I'm here on this earth, the more I want to see heaven. The more I want to see Jesus and the loved ones who are there. Soon this race will be o'er. I'll travel no more, but abide in my home above. Let me sing, blessed King, all the way to the shore. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, that the world would heed that, that the world would invite Jesus Christ into their life. Some people say they don't deserve it. None of us do. None of us ever did. But that old song that says, when he was on the cross, we were on his mind. Please, if you have not accepted Jesus, if you have not relinquished your spirit to the Lord, do so now. Can't think of a more perfect time than the season as we celebrate the birth of Christ that you would accept him into your life as Lord and Savior. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. We feel like we have delivered what God laid on our heart. Every prophetic word, everything that was done, was in the order of God himself. He knew this day. He knew this location. He knew the songs that would be sung today. He knew the message that would be delivered. And he knows you. And he sees your heart. And he knows where you stand. You see, you don't have to convince man. You have to be submissive to God. It's not what we say we are. It's what we actually are in our spirit. We can't strive to be the good person and the best person to make our way into heaven. We must be born again. We must have our sins washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. If, in fact, you're here today and you've not made that decision, please let me urge you to do it today while God's mercy is still extended to you. Please, every saint of God, pray. Every head bowed. Is there one this morning? Giving you an opportunity. While every head is still bowed, hopefully that everyone under the sound of my voice is ready to meet Jesus should he come today or should he call. But if you're here today and you have a prayer need, just slip your hand up and let this pastor. I won't ask you what it is. I'll just pray. God bless those hands. We see them and God sees them. And I'm going to be praying for you whatever the situation is. Be blessed today, and please, please, make every effort to be back with us tonight. May God bless.
Amen. And so it was. Love the Lord. Love each and every one of you. Know that this altar is still open. I know it's a busy time in our lives as we go about our daily things and all the different activities. But in anything, may we be reminded by this message what Jesus did for us, what God provided for us. Yes, ma'am. Praise God. Love to hear those testimonies of praise. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. No, it was tap.
Dear Lord, we know, God, that you died for everyone. We know that you see every person. Somewhere out there right now is a distressed girl. Feels like all hope is gone. Probably feels like no one loves her. But God, you can reach her even in this condition that she's in now. God, through the faith of Sister Tabitha, through the authority in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that you would reach your hand of mercy down to her now. God, extend it to her. Give her an invitation, Lord, to be part of the body of Christ.
Yes, Lord.
God, deliver her from this substance abuse. God, right now, Lord, save her, fill her with your love and your spirit. God, I pray that you would bless this mother. God, I know, Lord, that she's worthy. Pray, God, that you would give her peace. In Jesus' name, heal her. Save her.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Love each and every one of you. Just so thankful y'all joining us this morning. Looking forward to the service tonight. And for y'all coming back and being with us, it's going to be a great time in the Lord. To have a wonderful afternoon. All hearts and minds clear. Praise God. And I know all the activities, y'all be careful back and forth today. Well, with this prayer, we're going to be dismissed or taking intermission tonight. Also, be in much prayer for the service tonight. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise your holy name. Lord, we thank you for your word, dear Lord, for your love, your mercy, and your grace, dear Lord, but for giving us everything that we need and everything that we are. Lord, we just praise you for those that are able to join today in your many blessings, for answering prayers. Dear Lord, as we prepare to depart now, we ask that you'll keep us safe, bring us back at our appointed time. But most of all, dear Lord, we just give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Have a wonderful, wonderful afternoon. Praise God.